The Lord is good and his mercy endures. How long?
Forever.
Forever and ever and ever. What does that mean for us? Think about it. What does that mean for us? For the Lord is good and his mercy endures forever. It doesn't end. Yes. We're guaranteed. You know, God is bold enough, strong enough, able enough to give us guarantees. His word is his guarantee. That's sort of what we're going to be talking about here. Let's pray. Father, as we sang earlier, open the eyes of our heart, may our ears be open to hear what the Spirit of the Lord says is saying to the church. We need you, Lord. We need your grace and your wisdom. And we thank you, Lord. We bless your name. Speak to us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Jen, it's good to see you. Praise God. We're going to be talking about a subject that I fear is very, very timely in the time, in the age, in the years, the days that we are living in. And this is probably going to take us the better part of maybe 1 or 2 months to go through. The fear factor. Why is fear such a serious issue with God? Even to the point that those who are fearful are cast into the lake of fire, as we see in the book of Revelation, chapter 21 and verse 7, as we read, "He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God." And if you have the red letter edition of the Bible, this is in red letter. So this is Jesus speaking. "I will be his God, and he shall be my son." But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire, the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And so we're talking about the fear factor. So here is the word in Hebrew, the definition for fearful. It's dread, timid, that is, faithless. And then Isaiah, it says 34 or 35 verse 4, "Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not, behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you." And then here is that word for fearful. As you see, it's Strong's 41:16. It's a little different than the previous definition. But here's what this means. It means to be liquid or flow easily. That is, to hurry in a good or a bad sense. Often used with another verb, adverbially, promptly, be carried headlong, fearful, to cause, to make, in, make, haste, be hasty, fetch, make ready, quickly, rash, shortly, be so, soon, make speed, speedily, straightway, suddenly, swift. So in the context of being fearful, in Isaiah, the fearful heart is one that will quickly change, quickly turn. Change your mind quickly. What is it in fear that is so offensive to God? One of the desires of my heart concerning you all is that you have a clear understanding of your Father in heaven. If we can understand, we read the scripture, I think it was a couple of weeks ago out of Jeremiah, I think it was 9:23, that says, let him that boast in this, that he knows me and he understands me. God desires for us to understand his ways, to understand him. So if you understand God, concerning your relationship with God, what would be the outcome? When you understand God, concerning your relationship, what's the outcome? Pardon? Love. Trust. What comes to my mind is comfortable. Being comfortable with your relationship with God. Knowing you know his character, you know what he'll do, because you know what his word says he will do. So what is it in fear that's so offensive to God? We know that it was the cause of the children of Israel to wander in the wilderness for 40 years until that generation came out of Egypt and died off. In this study, we're going to answer these questions and more as we come to understand God's perspective about fear. And remember, that's the word of God gives us his perspective. This is how God thinks about things. And so it behooves us to know how he thinks. We don't want man's opinion. We don't want man's ideas. We want it right from God's mouth to us. So, we're going to establish a foundation here. Faith overcomes fear. In this life, as a follower of Jesus Christ, the most important spiritual attribute we must possess is faith. As we read in Hebrews 4, Hebrews 11:6, it says, now without faith, it is impossible to please God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. For whoever comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who diligently search for him. Our Father in heaven has shown us his might and power over the eons of time and has given us undeniable examples of his great faithfulness so that we can have confidence that his pure word is true and will work on our behalf if we trust in him. The Bible tells us in Romans that the things that have been written before were written for examples for us to learn. To see how God had revealed himself. To see the patterns that God has established throughout history. The scriptures admonish us to not be as the children of Israel who were shown great and mighty signs in Egypt only to fall because of unbelief in the wilderness. As we read in the following scriptures. Look at Jude chapter 1 and verse 5. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. Can you imagine the disappointment and frustration that God had as he took so much effort and so much time to do what he did? All of the miracles, everything that he did in Egypt, bringing them out of Egypt, the mighty miracles, even the death of the firstborn and the Red Sea and all that, only for people to go, I want to go back to Egypt. I don't believe. Could somebody give Elio a copy of that? Look at Hebrews 4:1. Let us fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Look at Hebrews 3:15. This is the International Standard Version. As it is said today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as they did when they provoked me. And put a circle around that word provoke. Now, who heard him and provoked him? Was it not all those that came out of Egypt, led by Moses, and with whom he was angry for 40 years, was it not those who sinned and whose bodies fell dead in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would never enter into his rest? It was to those who disobeyed him, was it not? So we see that they were unable to enter in because of their unbelief. We're talking about the fear factor. And what is it in fear that really displeases God? Why does God? Yeah, very, very true. Yes. Faith is having the assurance in your heart and mind that God will perform his word that he has given to us. Faith is our willingness without hesitation to step out in obedience to his pure word and believe that his word will come to pass as we act on it. In many instances in the scriptures, we read where God said to different individuals to fear not. But it just wasn't a stand-alone comment or command. He just didn't say, fear not, and then leave it. God qualified the statement by saying what he would do. Remember, the children of Israel had seen God perform great miracles in Egypt. Then they see God destroy the army of Egypt in the Red Sea. They had so many examples of God's great power as a reference and as a reminder of what he would do. Right? And now, God was directing the children of Israel into fulfilling their purpose, which was to be priests of God to all the nations. Exodus 19:4. This is God speaking, you have seen what I did unto the Egyptians and how I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine, and you shall be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. Remember that word peculiar. We see it lends itself to mean exclusive. Of all the people in the earth, you're going to be a treasure unto me. You're going to be a nation of kings, priests, and a holy nation. But first, they had to enter into the land of Canaan and possess it, according to Genesis 15:18 through 21. Let's read. Genesis 15, verse 18. In the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, unto thy seed I have given this land. Now, look at what God is saying. Unto your seed, he what? He didn't say, I'm going to. He said, I have given. It's a done deal. When God says it, if you want to write this down, when God says it, it's done. When God says it, it's sealed. I have given this land from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates, the Kenites, the Kenizzites, the Kadmonites, the Hittites, and the Perizzites, and the Rephaims, and the Amorites, and the Canaanites, and the Girgashites, and the Jebusites. Here is the first reference concerning this promise in Exodus. So follow this. God said this to Abraham. This is what's going to happen. And as we continue to read, he says, but it's not going to be until 400 years because the iniquity of the Amorites is not full. Now, bear in mind, all this land is land that Abraham had been in. Everybody knew Abraham. The kings of all these lands, they knew Abraham. And they knew Abraham to be a man of God. They knew Abraham to be a man that was blessed by God. So it was no secret. God was not a secret. Exodus chapter 23 and verse 20. This is God giving his word. All right. Behold, I send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way, and to bring thee into the place which I have prepared. All right? God told Abraham, I have given it. He's prepared this land for them. Beware of him, the angel, and obey his voice. Provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgressions, for my name is in him. But if thou shalt obey... Indeed, obey his voice and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy unto thine enemies and an adversary unto thine adversaries. For mine angel shall go before thee and bring thee unto the Amorites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. And God says, I will cut them off. This is the first mention to the children of Israel concerning the land of Canaan, where they were that promised land. I sent an angel before thee, and he says, my name is in him. I get the feeling that might have been Jesus. Interesting. God will never leave anyone helpless. He always has a plan. In this case, we see that God would be the one fighting for the children of Israel. Remember, his word is his guarantee. His word is his guarantee. So we have an entire book called the Bible, the Word of God, filled with guarantees, filled with promises, filled with what he will do. God desires for us to know him, to accept those words, accept them where we live by them, where we're willing to stake our life on them. Remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They had no fear of going into this big oven. They were not going to worship an idol. And they said to Nebuchadnezzar, oh Nebuchadnezzar, says, we're not going to bow before you. And God is able to save us. And even if not, we're not afraid. They were willing to be a martyr. They were willing to be burned. We know the story. It made Nebuchadnezzar got so mad that he made the fire 7 times hotter, to the point to where when they threw them in, the whoever it was, be it soldiers or whoever, they died because of the heat. It was so bad. And so they were in there, and Nebuchadnezzar, he's looking, and he says, "What do I see? Didn't we throw 3 people in there? How is it that I see 4? And the 4th is as a son of God." So he called them out. Can you imagine? He called them out. And they just come walking out. And the Bible says that they didn't even have the smell of smoke on them.
Or hair singed off their head.
Yeah, it was like they were in a bubble. God is able to do the things that men look at as being impossible. But we have to understand that God is above it all. God is the creator. He created it all. Nothing was created without him. Everything was created by him. So he's over all of it. So if he's over all of it and you are tucked in him, you can breeze over all of it as well. I refer back to Psalms 91 about abiding under the shadow of the Most High. And we have no cause to fear. Get to know Psalms 91. I want to encourage you to get to know Psalms 91 and equally Psalms 103. To know the character of the Most High God. Yes.
91.
Psalms 91. And also Psalms 103. Get those in your spirit. Get those, because we need to know how God thinks about us. Many people, they don't have a clue. And that isn't what God desires. Remember, Jesus said the Holy Spirit, when he comes, he's going to guide you into all truth. And everything that's of me, he'll bring it to you. Because everything that the Father has, he's given it to me. So I say that he'll bring whatever is of mine to you. That's a wealth of blessing. A wealth of understanding. A wealth of wisdom. I could go on and on. A wealth of grace. A wealth of power. Wow. Everything that God is, everything that Christ is in the person of the Holy Spirit, and it is given to us. So having said that, how should we live? Boldly, humbly, confidently. I talked about being comfortable with God, but remember also, as we walk in faith, we go into the unseen and we learn to be comfortable being uncomfortable. Lord, I don't know where this is going, but I trust you. I trust you, God. So God gives us the element of comfort because the Holy Spirit is the comforter. Amen. We got a lot more to cover here, and we're just going to draw deep into this issue because it's so, I mean, God hates it. It's an abomination to God, and we're going to see how serious this is to our Heavenly Father. But God, we thank you for your word. It never fails. It's always on time according to you. And you do not move according to the will of man, to man's time frame, but you move according to your principles, your will, and your word. And we thank you, Lord. Guide us continually, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. One more scripture I would like for you to write down is Psalms 138, verse 2. And it's the sentence, the verse is split up, and I say 2b because the second part of verse 2. But it says that thou has magnified your word even above your name. Think about that. That's how much, bless you, honey. That's how much emphasis God has on his word. Not on man's word, not on man's ideas, but upon the word that he's given us. Amen. Bless you again, my love.